I thank the Lord for that song. Appreciate that song being sung. In times like these, just putting it very plainly, I need help. I need the Lord's help. And that last verse says something about, I'm very sure. No wonder this afternoon, are we very sure that our anchor holds and we have gripped or gripping the solid rock? Are we very sure that we have enough on hand and what it's going to take to get me through the hard times? It's the old stories back when you and I were younger. Stories. Man meets a woman. They fall in love. They get married. And eventually they have a couple children. And they live happily ever after. You ever heard that one? Do you know anybody that's lived happily ever after? They call those fairy tales. It's a fairy tale because there's no truth to it. I already heard it mentioned in this morning service, man born a woman is a few days and full of trouble. It's a fairy tale, but you know our world, our people today live in a fairy tale. They live in a fairy tale world. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe that, you talk to someone that goes down to Disney World and spend $150 to $200 a day or for 2 or 3 days to leave reality for a while and live in a fairy tale world, because that's all it is, to dupe people out of their money, to get their minds of thinking, you know, life is easy. It's really not hard. Folks, life is hard. There's no two questions about that. Life is hard for every one of us. And we don't live in a fairy tale world. We live with reality. None of us know what we're going to face before the Lord takes us home. We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what we're going to deal with. But one thing we pretty much do know is that we're going to have to deal with people. Therein lies a lot of our difficulties and problems, because we deal with people. Everybody, as we grow up, we are conditioned, if you will, because of our home life, because of our childhood, our schools, life, and those things that influenced us as we grew up, we are conditioned in what to believe and how to believe. We all believe differently as far as comprehending the same thing. We all comprehend things differently. It's important that you and I believe the truth. Very important. But I think about the things that happen in life. I suppose that I could say to you, you probably have never been hurt. You've probably never been mistreated. You've probably never been offended by anyone. And you might just laugh and say, that's kind of foolish talk. Because those things happen along life's way, don't they? Those things do happen. Let's look at a scripture Jesus teaching us here. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, see what the Lord would say to us this afternoon. At the same time, came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child unto him and said, set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, I think we all understand that the Lord's not telling us to be a little child all of our life. But there are some qualities about a little child that you and I need to possess and keep a hold of as we go down through life. You ever see two children arguing or fighting over a toy? They really get into it sometimes. That's mine. The other one says, no, that's mine. Or I want to play with it. Or I want this. And they just go at it. But you know what? It doesn't take very long at all. They forgot all about that. They got involved in something else. And all the differences that they had and the words maybe that they spoke, they left that all behind. It had no real depth to it. Didn't mean a whole lot to them. And they're so quick to just forget and move on. Do you know, us humans, we have a hard time sometimes to forget and to move on. I have dealt with it down through my years. People that have been mistreated, they developed ill will in their hearts. And those things bring on all kinds of unnatural desires and intent, like anger and murder and all those kind of things can spring from bad treatment from someone. You and I've got to guard against those kind of things, don't we? We got to guard against them. But he said here again, except you be converted and become as a little child, you should not enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord says, except you be humbled like a little child. The Lord wants you and I, as we grow older, to put away the childish things and become a man, woman. But there are, as I said, qualities of a child that the Lord is trying to put forth here. He said, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the midst in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I want to submit to you this afternoon that Jesus pronounced a woe on those that would offend someone. But I want us to consider for just a few minutes here, maybe those offenses come because we need them. Maybe they come for our good and for our benefit, to help us to see ourselves, to help us to see our place. Do you know offenses, where do they, if you're offended about what somebody says, or what somebody does, where does the offense really start? It starts in the mind. You get the thought. You get it in your mind. I've been offended. They said something that hurt me. They said something that deeply offended me. And it starts in the mind. And Paul tells us in the Word what we are to do with the things of the mind, doesn't it? Bring every thought unto the obedience of Christ. So offenses may come to you, and they may come to me. I've been offended. Not every one of us, some people, I've seen some people, they're like ducks. You've heard the old saying, like water off a duck's back? Seems like no matter what you say, you can't hurt them, you can't offend them, they just laugh at it and go on. But most people aren't that way. And we get offended about things sometimes. Maybe it's for our benefit. Maybe it's to show us that we're a little more proud than what we should be. Maybe it's to show us we're not as humble as we ought to be. Maybe it's really been done for the Lord to help us to see, hey, that's who I really am. That's who I didn't realize that. Maybe when I get offended, I ought to go home and I ought to look in the mirror of God's Word and I ought to get down on my knees and say, Lord, you know, is this me? Was this rightly given? Now there's a woe to them. There's an old brother. He passed away several years ago down in South Carolina. I loved him dearly. He said he didn't want no millstone hung around his neck because he couldn't swim. So he sure didn't want to offend anybody. It's not that we want to offend anybody. As we live together, work together, do life together, rub shoulders together, there's going to be offenses that are going to come. Lord, help you and I to get the maturity and the grace that God has for you and I to overcome those things and not let them continue to eat in our mind and our thoughts. Because that's exactly what the devil wants us to do with offenses. So the Lord's using a little child to demonstrate to you and I today how we are to handle things that come our way like this. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for that a man that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. The Lord does not want you and I to go about intentionally offending people, saying things that we know is going to hurt people. There's been people in handling the Word of God, handling the gospel, that have offended people and did not have the intention of doing that. There's been people that have offended people and didn't realize that they had offended someone. And I want to suggest to you this afternoon, if someone offended you, or if you've been offended, you pray about it and you take it to the Lord and endeavor to get the victory over it. And if you can't do it, go to the one that offended you. Don't tell everybody else all about it. Go to the one that offended you and deal with them. As the brother said in Sunday school, when you come to the altar and you know that there's aught or offense against a brother, leave your gift at the altar and go and deal with it. But the important thing here is get the offenses out of the way. We've got to get those things out of the way so we can get the thoughts and take away the empowerment of the enemy to get in our minds to control us. You understand what I'm saying? Because if we hold on to things that offend us and hurt, and hurts are real, I'm not diminishing the thought or the idea that hurts aren't real. Hurts are real. We've all been there. We've all done that. We've been hurt, but you gotta let it go. There comes a point in time as we, and it takes the Lord's help to do that. But there comes a point in time, folks, if we don't let it go, if we don't get the victory over it, that thing is going to control us. You're giving the enemy room and really the authority to use that to control you. You may go to prayer and that offense is going to come up to you. You may get up in the morning. One of the first things the devil is going to present to you in your thought and your mind is that offense. What so-and-so did to me. And that so-and-so may not even realize they've done it. So it's important. I feel it's very important for you and I that are endeavoring to live right. That are endeavoring to make heaven. As we live in this life, you're going to be offended. The Lord's already pronounced a woe on the one that offended you. Lord, help us not to go about offending one another. I'm not going to stand here and be foolish to stand here and say I've never offended anybody. No doubt I have. Have I intentionally offended anyone? No. To my knowledge, I've never intentionally went out of my way to offend someone. But it's the nature of the man, isn't it? It's the nature of life, as I said, as we rub shoulders, as we live together. And this, I can't seem to get this out of my mind. Back when in my working days, we had a fella. He was a millwright like I was. And he was very careless. And when he got around dangerous things, he was very careless. And at the end of his working days, when he retired, he had cut off 3 fingers on the same hand from one length or another, 3 different fingers on the same hand. I remember driving one of our power trucks down the aisle, and he was standing there on the corner, and he had on a pair of canvas gloves, work gloves, and he just threw his hands down like that, and one of them fell off that hand. And I stopped and And his nickname was Beaver. I said, Beaver, you don't have a, I said, that's pitiful. You don't have enough fingers on that hand to keep a glove on it. He was one person. I don't care what you said to him. Didn't bother him. People said all kinds of things and it didn't bother him. And I knew that. And I didn't say that to offend him. I was working with him one day and a man, and the fellow was driving the truck and we were laying over a pin, a steel pin cylinder. About that long, and it was about that much big in diameter, and it was laying it down in a piece of channel iron, so he could slide it into the place that it went to. And I saw that the chain was slipping off the fork, and it was coming right at us. And I grabbed him, this fellow, and I grabbed the sleeve of his work clothes, and I turned and I ran and said, "Let's get out of here." He jerked out of my grasp. I turned around and he's standing there holding his hand. And I said, "What happened?" It went clear down to the floor. There's no way. There ain't a human in here. Care how big you are, Brother Jason. There ain't a human in here that could have held that thing in place. It was big. It weighed a lot of pounds. But he put his hand out to stop. Cut his finger off. It fell on the side of the basket and just used it like a guillotine. Whacked it right off. And he says, I turned around, I said, "What's the matter?" He said, "I cut off another one. I cut off another one." That was his third one. Folks, I want to tell you, life has its ways. Life has its changes. We don't know what we're going to face. We don't know what we're going to deal with. We don't know who's going to come. We don't know. The enemy has things designed against every one of us. You do understand that. He has bad things designed against you and I. And you and I need that grace or that glory of God that we talked about this morning to be able to resist the enemy. To be able to stand on our own two feet by the grace and the power of God against the enemy of our souls. And folks, one of the ways, and I've seen it down time and time again down through the years, one of the ways that he brings unforgiveness into people's hearts is because of offenses. Been offended. Sister Betty Baker lived up in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Been gone a lot of years. Been gone a lot of years. Some of you heard me talk about her. She was an old spinster, never had been married. Lived in a house up there on a farm. And that house was a mess, wasn't it? You had a little trail to get through the front door and the kitchen back to the living room, and she wanted to know when you was coming so she could make that trail to get through her house. It was pitiful. It was a mess. Well, they finally came in, the authorities came in and saw what it was and they closed it down. They wouldn't let her live there anymore and they put her in a nursing home. They condemned it. We went up there one day to visit her and as soon as I walked, you know, when you get offended, it eats on you. That's what, it seems like it's on your mind continuously. I know how the devil works. You do too. You know how the devil works. He wants to take your peace. He wants to take your joy. He don't want you to be happy. He wants you to concentrate on that one little thing that so-and-so did to me. We walked into her room in that nursing home and she said, "Hi, Brother Abbott." And the next thing out of her mouth was, "Brother, do you think they did right? Oh, brother, do you think I should forgive them for taking my house away from me?" I said, "Sister Betty, I don't know why you even asked me that question. Maybe what they did to you was wrong. Maybe it was. I'm not the judge of that. But the fact does remain, they did it. And you know that the Lord says, when you stand praying, what'd he say? Forgive. And if we don't forgive, he's not going to forgive us." Folks, what I'm talking about this afternoon is really pretty relevant to people's lives. It really is. It's pretty commonplace that people deal with these kind of things. Don't give the enemy room. Don't give him room to control you in your mind and in your thoughts. If you've been hurt, if you've been offended, be like this little child. Humble yourself. Commit them into the hands of God and say, God, I need victory, deliverance from this thing out of my mind. You know how you know that you don't have anything against someone again anymore that's offended you? You know how you know you don't have anything? Is when you're in their presence and you don't have those feelings. You don't have those feelings. The Lord's taking it all away. He can do it. He can do it for us. When they're around and you're in their presence, those feelings all crop up again because they've hurt me. You're still holding it. You're still holding it. I know a soul that made the statement, I've been hurt many times in my life, but I'll never let someone hurt me again. Now, saints, let me tell you, that is not the way to handle it. You don't determine. You don't decide what somebody's going to do. You take your hurts and your offenses to the Lord. And you get it cleared up with the Lord. And you get the victory over it. And you commit those things to the Lord. But when you take a stand, and you've all heard someone probably say this, I'll never let them hurt me again. That's not the way we are to handle that as Christians. As little children, we commit it to the Lord. And we let the Lord be a fight for us. We let the Lord be our guide. We let the Lord be our helper and our strength. He says, wherefore, I'm going to read on here, because if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye offend thee, pluck it out. Cast it from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of thy Father, my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost. He's not talking about the literal feet, the literal hands, the literal eyes. If I'm looking at things that are an offense to me and I keep looking at those things, dwelling on those things, if I go to places I ought not go, if I'm doing things with my hands that I ought not to do, Lord help me cut it off. Let it not hinder me from making everlasting life. Spiritually here, he's talking about, Lord, help me to know how to handle offenses. They're going to come. I'm going to be hurt. Poor old Sister Betty, she said, yeah, I knew that's what you were going to say, Brother Larry. And I said, it's what the Bible says. I don't have anything else to tell you but what the Bible says. It's what the Bible says. It's like sometimes when preachers go in and people have something eating on them, they want to ask him a question and they want to hear what they want to hear. You know what I'm talking about? They want you to tell them what they want to hear. I can't do that. I've got to tell you what the Bible says about it. And of course, she knew what the Bible said. She knew it all the time. But that thing was eating her and eating her. I said, you got to get the victory over this, sister. You got to get the victory over this. Maybe you have been done wrong. Didn't Jesus say something he would cause men to ride over our heads, didn't he? He would cause men to ride over our heads. Lord, help us to be as little children, to be humble. Don't let pride get in the way. Think, well, I didn't deserve that. That's a slap in the face. I didn't deserve that. Lord, help us to get the victory over myself, that I can be able to handle and deal with the offenses that are going to come. It said it need be, they're going to come. But sometimes they come for our good. For the Lord to show us just where we are. just who we really are. Some people think they're too good to have to do some things. Lord, help you and I to be humble of mind and heart and spirit, that we're willing. You know, what was that one preacher said out there in California years ago? He said this man had a servant working for him, and the Lord was dealing with the man, and the servant was a Christian living for the Lord, and the man came to the servant and said, he said, "Let's go and pray. I want to get saved." He said, "All right." He said, "Let's go down to the hog pen and we'll go down there and pray." "Oh no. Oh no, I'm not going to no hog pen to pray." He said, "Well, you're not ready." So the man went back on doing his own ways. The Lord kept dealing with him. This is my story. It's an old story that was told in California years ago. Finally, one day, he came back to his servant. He said, "Let's go to the hog pen." He says, "I want to get saved." And the servant said, "You know what he said? We don't have to go to the hog pen. You're ready now. You're ready. We can get saved. You can get saved right here." You got to meet the conditions, don't we? Get rid of self-pride, self-worthiness to a point. The Lord wants us to have self-esteem. We don't want to go around telling everybody we're worthless and we're not this and we're, but get rid of self-pride. And Lord, help us to handle those things. I may come along and say something. I've been guilty of being flippant about things when I shouldn't have been. As I get older, I hope I'm getting a lot better at that. But folks, we don't want to do each other any harm. We don't want to do each other, cause our brother to stumble or cause our brother to be offended. None of us want to do that. I'm sure of that. Nevertheless, it's a reality of life. Those things really, really do happen in life. I want to look at a scripture in the 8th chapter. I'm sorry. Yeah, 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I was reading this some time back, and I thought, this can be very dangerous to my soul if I'm not careful how I handle things. This 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, save a little reading, it's talking about food. It's talking to the Jews back there, and food that had been sacrificed to idols. Food that had been given as a sacrifice in idol worship. And the Lord gave the command that they was not to eat that food once it had been sacrificed to idol worship. Now, I'd like to pick it up in the 8th verse. "But meat commendeth us not to God." It's not the meat. It's not the food. What does the scripture say? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That's not the kingdom of God. It isn't the natural things of the flesh that is the kingdom of God. But it's righteousness and peace and the Holy Ghost, isn't it? That's the kingdom of God. "Meat condemneth us not to God, for neither if we eat." I hope you get a hold of this. "For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse." Paul's saying here, you know, what you've been taught, what you've been conditioned to believe, it doesn't really matter. The meat doesn't matter. The important part is that you and I, if we have a conviction before God, whatever that conviction is, you may have a conviction on one thing, and I may have a different conviction on the same thing, but folks, our convictions are not the standard of the church. Follow that? Your conviction or my conviction on something, that's not the standard. Yet I've seen people want to take that because they got conviction on something, and they want to make that a standard for everybody else. It doesn't work that way. God deals with each and every one of us individually. He deals with each and every one of us personally. And folks, He's put conviction on my heart of some things that I would never put conviction on you. and tell you, you shouldn't do this or that. I keep that to myself because it's a personal relationship that I have with God. And it's personal to me. And it is so important to me. It had to do with my ministry. And I promised God about something. I said, Lord, I'll never touch that again. It wasn't something that was even sin. But I said, Lord, you're telling me that you want me to get rid of this. I'm going to get rid of it. And I ain't touched it since. We're talking many, many, many years now. And it was something that I really enjoyed. Lord said, give it to me and I'll give you something. I was praying for a Holy Spirit anointing upon the ministry of judgment. The Lord said, I'll give it to you. I want this and this, just two things. But I don't put that conviction on you folks. And I don't want you putting your convictions on me. And he says it plainly here. He said, if we eat, are we the better? Neither if we eat not, are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Just what I just said, isn't it? I don't want to be your stumbling block. I don't want to cause you to stumble. You may not have the faith that I have. You may not have the grace that I have. I may not have the faith that you have. Vice versa. But God knows every one of us. He knows where you are. He knows where I am. He knows where He knows our hearts. He knows the honesty of our hearts, folks. I'm so glad He's such a great, merciful, loving, wise God in dealing with each and every one of us that way. For if any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Now one thing is a given, I think that we all understand. There will always be weak ones and strong ones among us. There will some that will be strong. Some that can stand right in the heat of the battle. Stand right in the place that God puts them in. They'll be strong for it. They'll labor for it. They'll fight the good fight of faith for it. There'll be some that are weak and struggling. But nevertheless, God loves every one of us, doesn't He? So understand that. If any man see thee, which has knowledge, you have knowledge this. You have a conviction. No, I shouldn't be doing that. Sit at meat in the idol's temple. Shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Are you gonna have an influence on them that have a weak conscience? Those people that say, oh, look at Brother Larry. You see what he's eating? You see what he's drinking? Look at Brother Larry. And their conscience is a weak conscience. It hasn't been trained. It hasn't been convicted by the same conviction that you have. And they're gonna look at you. Here's what happens when that happens. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Offenses. Somebody watching me saying, well, I didn't think we were supposed to do that. I didn't think Brother Larry would do something like that. And yet and I allow them to see that. I need to be on my guard and I need to be careful in how I conduct and handle myself. It's important to know who you are around, the type of conscience, the type of person that you are around. Not because we want to go out and commit sin, folks. I'm talking about because we all have different understanding along these lines. There is a law of conscience. And it's not the standard of the church of God. But he said, through your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Remember when Peter was eating with the Gentiles? And James and the brethren came up from Jerusalem. And when Peter knew that they were there, he left the Gentiles. And Paul kind of got on him for that, didn't he? He caused a dissimulation that caused trouble among all the group. Even Barnabas was taken up with it. Our conduct is important, folks. It really is. How we handle ourselves is very important. But look what he said. This is what really got my attention. Through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. Christ died for them too, he said. But when ye so sin against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, brings it right down pretty close, doesn't it? Ye so sin against Christ. That's how personable it should be to you and I today. When we offend our brother, when we are doing something or allowing something in around a weak brother, our weak conscience, folks, let's be careful how we handle one another. Let's be very careful how we handle one another. Let's keep this thing right. When you so sin against the brother and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. He sure brings it down pretty straight, doesn't he? He brings right at home. And I can take that way beyond the meat, way beyond what he's talking here. If I'm doing anything that I don't have the conviction that you may have, or you have a weak conscience, my conscience may be stronger, and I'm doing something, and you see that I'm doing it, and it offends you, I need to quit it right then and there, don't I? I need to stop it right then and there. Because I don't want to offend anyone. I want to say this about offenses. Be careful. Be very careful that you're not so easily offended. Some people carry their feelings right there. You know what happens when you hit that elbow on something and you wasn't expecting it? I call it the funny bone. I don't think it's very funny. It really hurts, doesn't it? People carrying their feelings on their elbows. Be careful about sensitive conscience. Oversensitive conscience. Oversensitive feelings. Well, that just offends me. Handle yourself in a better way than that. Handle yourself in a better way than that. Lord, help you and I. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be able to get along with one another. He wants us to keep ill will and ill feelings out of our hearts. He wants us to keep offenses out of our minds and our thoughts. He wants us to get victory over those things. He wants us to overcome and be vessels to honor to the Lord. I think we can be workers together with God. That's what Paul said to do. To be workers together with God. You know, some people are a little more bold than other people are. Some people say things. Some people may say something like, you have never heard before. Your eyes open up and your arms go out. But was it really bad? Was it really wrong? Or is it just something you wasn't used to hearing? Just something you wasn't used to hearing. Be careful about carrying your feelings around on your elbows. We rub shoulders with one another. And it's good for us. I also heard this morning, for the brethren to dwell together in unity. We need each other, saints, folks. We need each other. But let's don't let the enemy get in. You know, he can tear up a congregation on offenses. He can tear it up. The devil can destroy a congregation of people that are getting offended every time you turn around. And I've seen those kind of people. Every time it seems like you turn around, they're getting offended over something. Lord, help us today. We are to be seasoned with grace, seasoned with salt, the fire of God. Lord, help us, everyone. I had another scripture, but I'm not going to take this any farther. I feel like the Lord is satisfied and I'm satisfied. Offenses. They're real. I'm not saying they're not real. I'm not saying that maybe you shouldn't have been offended. I'm saying be careful how you handle them. Don't let offenses cause you to get discouraged. Don't let offenses get you down. Don't let offenses run you off. That's just playing right into the devil's hands, isn't it?